You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. This is your host, Ken Lane. We're here talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona, and it has been wonderful to watch things grow, to set new blooms. Right now, you're seeing a shrub. It's about head high, maybe a little above head high, eight foot, you know, ceiling height, if it's really mature. It's called a Rose of Sharon. It's got a flower about 4 to 5 inches across, and it comes in white with a red center, pure white, comes in pinks, purples, blues, reds, lavenders, I mean, a host of colors, much like a rose, but it's actually not a rose. It's a hibiscus. It's a hardy hibiscus, one of the only hardy hibiscus for northern Arizona. All the other ones, let's say you folks from Phoenix, the deserts, California, Hawaii, the tropical warmer climates, you've got that humongous flower it's a hibiscus that's bigger than the size of your hand. It's ginormous. That particular one will grow up here, but it freezes out in the winter, so it'd be considered an annual. Blooms like crazy for now, and then come winter, the roots freeze out and it doesn't come back. The Rose of Sharon, though, is hardy. I think it's rated down to minus 40 degrees. I mean, even at the highest elevations, I mean, above Williams, Flagstaff, the White Mountains, you folks, you can grow this Rose of Sharon and you can count on it to bloom every summer. I mean, it's just bulletproof. And so that's one that you really do want to plant now during the summer. You want to plant it when you can see it in bloom, when it's showing off, because it's happiest in the summer, warm soils, warm days, warm nights. A lot of folks want to plant those midwinter when it's dormant. And that's when the book tells you to plant it. That's when it says, oh, it's the best time. But I find your success rate actually goes up if you plant it while the soil is warm. What happens is you can plant it when it's dormant. Generally speaking, that's a good time. That's when you plant your lilacs and forsythian, quince, and all those azaleas, rhododendrons. You plant those dormant spring bloomers, and they like the coolness. They like to bloom when it's, you know, frosty and snowy out. But not so much with your summer bloomers. That would be your desert willows, crepe myrtles, chatalpas, Rose of Sharon's. Those guys, they don't like the cold, wet, moist roots of spring. They like a soil that's very warm. So many times what will happen, they'll plant that for you in the spring. Let's say we come out and install that for you. And we'll be glad to do it. We'll have some choices. We'll have some of those summer bloomers available in the spring. But what happens is you can get some heavy snows. Those snows slowly melt. They get the soil so that it's soggy wet. Now it's cold at night. And this plant stays too wet, too soggy, too long, too cold. And it's going, I'm checking out. That's it. And so it wakes up really late. It blooms late. If you simply wait to plant the summer bloomers while it's still warm, while it's now, right now, while the monsoons are happening through about Thanksgiving, the soil will stay warm. Things will continue to root really through the end of the year, especially for you folks that are at, let's say, Cortis Junction, Sedona, Camp Verde, Cottonwood, I'd say Prescott Valley, all the way up to that mid 5,500 foot level. Those plants will root to the end of the year. Okay, the higher elevations, okay, the peaks, the Highland Pines, your Williams, the Munns Park, the Pine Top Lakeside, you know, Greer, those are the higher elevations. You folks, it just cools off maybe a month or two earlier. So by the end of Thanksgiving, let's say, the soil stays warm. But by then, it starts to get cool. See, now through at least Thanksgiving for all elevations, the higher mountains of Arizona, great time to plant a new Rose of Sharon, crepe myrtles, any of the euonymus, your evergreens, nandinas, spruce, pine, fir, do really well with planting now. But the showstoppers are going to be, I mean, there's two things people are coming in for right now. It's Rose of Sharon. They come in going, what's that flower? What is it? I want to know. I want one. They come in tree form and shrub form, the Rose of Sharon. Both do exceptionally well here. The tree will be, oh, it gets up not very tall, very short. I would say no more than 10 feet by about six, eight foot wide. So it's a beautiful accent tree. Or the most popular, most common, and most affordable, really, is the shrub form. Again, the shrub will be about just a bit taller than you and I and a bit wider. So call it 8 by 5 foot wide. And it's a deciduous tree. It's got a beautiful fall color to it. Fall foliage is like aspen gold on your Rose of Sharon. All colors, aspen gold. And then it goes dormant. It will go to sleep, drop its foliage, wake up about sometime in May, form its buds all until right now, and then it just erupts with foliage. I've had a Rose of Sharon loaded so heavy with flowers, if fertilized right, it can be so heavy, it will almost fall over because of the flower buds. It's that it produces that many flowers. It's crazy. Nothing's like it. The other one people are coming in for, and it's a little more finicky, is the crepe myrtle. I say crepe myrtle, I would say at the higher elevations, probably not ideal. I would say above 6,000 foot level, let's get you into something that's more a little hardier. But at that 6,000 foot and below level, oh, crepe myrtles are wonderful. Now, not all crepe myrtles are created equal. Some at that variety of plants, some of them are more tender than others. I'd say your true southern varieties, the real hot heat lovers, the Texas, you folks from Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, you all are famous for the crepe myrtles. Not all of those varieties will grow here. Some will. We probably have, I don't know, 5, 6, maybe 8 varieties here at the Garden Center. I truly don't know. There's a lot of them. But we curate out of the 100-plus choices of crepe myrtles, we have less than 10 varieties. We're trying to get the ones that winter over here, that have the hardier rootstock, that will take that cold extremes of warm days, cold nights that messes up some of those plants. We've got those varieties. Unfortunately, we don't have a tree variety. Those are the ones that are really the southern gardeners. Let's say they retired here to Arizona and they're from the Midwest and South where they were famous for their crepe myrtles. The tree forms are really dicey here. I would say probably not worth investing trying one. We don't even sell them here at the Garden Center, here at Waters at least, because they're just, half of them will die. They're just so not consistent. Well, when you're coming to us, we figure you're coming to a specialty retailer. We focus in on plants, nothing but plants, and plants that work for here. Well, I don't want plants that are borderline. I want success. Here's an instruction sheet. Do this, plant this plant, it will succeed. That's the kind of plants we want. And so we really spend a lot of energy and time with quality, variety, the timing of when to have things. We really focus in on that. There's even a new variety of crepe myrtle. There's the one that just came out this year. It's got purple foliage. I planted this back in April and May in my own gardens. It is performing exceptionally. Here's the beauty. Most crepe myrtles have green foliage. This variety, I've got two colors, white and a pink, or is it borderline red? It's kind of whatever color that is. It's bright. It's fluorescent. But the foliage comes out like purple leaf plum foliage, not a matted finish. I mean, this is glossy purple foliage. Even without flowers, this crepe myrtle is magnificent. I mean, it is so neat. I'm so excited. Now it's starting to bloom. And so it's really going to, I think this is going to be a new, just exceptional new variety that we can introduce here for the mountain country that is unique. You can't find it anywhere else. And the purples go well with those lighter colored rock lawns. So if you've got crushed granite, those areas, that purple is quite striking. If you've got a light colored adobe house, the striking purple foliage is very pretty. And then the added bonus is you get this fluorescent flower every summer. You can count on it. Anyway, we got a lot in store this show for you. Stay tuned. Be right back.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, also known as the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain landscapes.
Ouch! Aw, man, another rock! Hi, I'm Rusty. You know, the shovel you're destroying trying to dig that hole? Sure, I get it. You got these beautiful plants at Waters Garden Center. Waters asked if they could plant them for you. But no, you had to do it yourself, even though they would plant, deliver, and guarantee your plants for 2 years. I hope I don't end up like that old pickaxe. Ouch! Prevent yard tool abuse. Waters Garden Center. They plant, deliver, and guarantee.
We believe retirement means more time to garden and plants make you happier at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And we're back. We've got Lisa Waters Lane in the studio with your hey there. Hey, beautiful.
Hello.
With garden questions, your Facebook posts, lots of activity this week. Seems like everything's growing from mildew to bugs to disease, pestilence.
Right.
It's what a garden center loves.
Yes.
It's been like baggies coming into the garden center. I've helped several today. Or jars, canning jars, different kinds of samples of bugs and leaf samples. And you're welcome to do that anytime. If you're not sure what something is or if it's really got problems or not, or what is this black tip on a foliage really bad, or what is this bug, please, we've got several folks. In fact, we like it when you try to stump us, because it's a weird deal. Our folks will actually gather around going, oh, we've never seen that before. It's funny to watch. Yeah. Anyway, what kind of...
But bring it in a baggie.
Yeah, we don't want to spread it to our stuff, especially disease stuff, spotting leaves, things like that, because it does spread easily. And birds and insects spread that from tree to tree.
Shall we answer questions?
We should.
Okay. Sharon, out in Prescott, has prickly pears, but on her prickly pear cactus, there's this cottony white stuff.
Yeah.
Should she be concerned, and what could it be?
You should be concerned, because that will actually officially kill that plant, and it'll spread. It can spread from cactus to cactus. It's called prickly pear scale, so actually an insect underneath that white cottony pad, underneath that white cottony look, and it's sucking the life out of that pad of that cactus. Okay. It's naturally occurring out in nature, but it also spreads easily to your native plants out there in the yard. You need to kill it, and what to kill it with? It's pretty easy to kill, but you got to keep on it a couple times. Sure. But the multi-purpose insect spray—that's that permethrin that we've got here on the shelf. It's one that we bottled for us, and that's one of the bugs that's listed on that label.
Great.
Is cactus scale. The secret with killing off cactus scale. You can put usually a tank sprayer or something, hose in sprayer, anything, any kind of sprayer. You want to mix in that same sprayer, spreader sticker. It's an additive that you add in the tank as well. Say you've got a tank sprayer, 1 gallon sprayer. You're going to put your multi-purpose insect spray killer in the tank. I think it's a couple tablespoons to a gallon. And you'll match that with the spreader sticker, a couple tablespoons to the gallon. What happens is that white coating repels anything away from the bug, especially bug killers.
Sure.
So it's actually a difficult bug to kill unless you add spreader sticker into your tank sprayer at the same time. That helps the bug killer to penetrate through that white cottony mass down to where the bug is and wipes them out. You get a much, much higher knockdown rate of any bug. Anytime I'm spraying any kind of bug killer or mildew disease kind of sprays, I always use spreader sticker. If you're using a hose in sprayer, let's say it's a big garden with lots of scale, use a hose in sprayer. With that, it's hard to mix up spreader sticker and the sprayer. I will go through first and spray the spreader sticker first on the whole garden, that area, that plant. Then I'll come back immediately afterwards, right after the spreader sticker, and spray my bug killer or my disease control. And that's an easy way to do a hose in sprayer with a tank sprayer. Why not combine them? Just makes it easy.
Can't do that in hose in though.
Yeah.
But get on it right away because it will.
Oh, it spreads terribly.
Spread.
And this time of year, we've got the greenhouse effect going.
Yeah.
So the monsoons are here, humidity's going, your plants are growing like crazy, blooms are going. Well, also, the bugs grow equally as fast or faster because there's more food for them. So they'll get out of control very quickly.
Right. It's a battle. Got to get out there and
you should
fight.
Probably walk through once a week and look for stuff. Look for oddball things and get on them right away.
Right. Definitely. Okay. Kevin and Prescott, speaking of getting on things right away, has sap running down the trunk of his pine. And some of the needles are turning brown.
Ooh, okay. So this is serious. So it's probably in Prescott or place where there's pines. Right. you've got bark beetle or Ips beetle. If you just type in Google bark beetle, it'll show you what it is. If you really look at the bark, you'll see pinholes on the bark at the base of the tree. It's where that cutest little bug, beetle, it's like a quarter inch long, is burrowed into or out of that tree. The tree is trying to flush that bug out, and that's why you're getting sap coming out. It's trying to drown that beetle. And it can do it. If it's a healthy tree, it can do several. It can kill off a few bugs. If it's an infestation, you'll see a lot of pinholes and a lot of bubbles, a lot of leaking sap holes, wounds. Then you really need to get on it. And this is serious stuff. It will take down a pine. Now, there's a line in the sand with pine trees, and you just don't know where that line is. Once it crosses that line, there's nothing you can do. It just keeps deteriorating.
Coming back.
It's dead. Pine trees look alive, but they've been dead for 2 or 3 weeks, and so they just collapse all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking he's got time to save it.
Right.
So you want to – there's a couple things. I would really go after it, and I would shock and awe this bug. I would put down, first and foremost, start off immediately with plant protector. Mm-hmm. Pour it around the base of that pine tree. And I would treat all the pine trees on your lot, at least the valuable ones. If you're in a real heavily forested one, you know, the little guys, if you lose one, so what? But if the big boys, ones that feature your accent, your house, you need to protect those because you're in an area that's very active. The plant protector, you do it once. It treats the bark. Underneath the bark, that cambium layer where the bug is actually eating, it will treat that for a year. And so one application for the year, you're done. Very easy. The negative with it, it travels about a foot a day. So it takes a while to get up through the trunk of the tree. So you need to get on that first. In addition, I would come in and get a bottle of, at the same time, of the 38 plus. Permethrin.
Yeah.
That's what the Forest Service says to use on bark beetle. That's a spray that you spray on the actual bark. And you'll use a hose in sprayer and just coat all the bark areas. And as the bug enters or exits this bark, it will kill them. So you've got an immediate fix because you've got problems now, and then you've got a long-term fix. So I would tag team it and use those both.
So the 38 doesn't penetrate, though. It's just an exterior. As they go in or go out, it'll get them.
Yeah, and you coat the bark. And again, there it would be good to spray the spreader sticker on it because it'll help it coat down penetrate the bark deeper so it'll last longer. And then really the 38 plus, which is the strongest permethrin, it's the strongest spray we can get over the counter for termites, bark beetles, just things that are around there. A little pricey, but what's the cost of a tree?
I mean, it's worth it.
You can't replace these things. They're worth a $10,000 bill when you lose a big pine tree, a ponderosa or something. Sure. They're you just cannot be replaced. So anyway, that's
get on that one too. Don't wait.
Plant protector. Hopefully you can save it. And 38 plus. Just write if you're not sure, come in. We'll tell you. We'll show you what it is.
Right.
Both those are in stock. Yeah, you can do them now. You can do them yourself. It's very easy. You don't need an arborist. It's a breeze.
Right. And we have a great hose-in sprayer for the 38 because it gets
up real
stream
high
on it. So it's real nice. Yep. Okay. Next question is from Janice, who actually lives in Cottonwood, and she wants to know, will an aspen grow in Cottonwood?
You know, we're surprised where aspen will grow. For sure it will grow in cottonwood. You'll need to put it on irrigation. That's the main thing. It grows naturally at that 6,000 foot, 5,800 foot and above level. They're at 4,500, something like that. But we've had them down in Skull Valley, and those were at the 4,200 foot level. So I don't know why they wouldn't grow in that lower elevation as well. For sure, they grow at the 5,000 to 4,800 at Prescott Valley, the Mayer, Humboldt, Dewey areas. They grow very, very well, but they need to be put on irrigation. So, and clay soils, I think that's the reason that it does so well. You've got those clay, and over in Cottonwood, you got the silty soils as you get close to the river. They should do exceptionally well down there. If they don't, Lombardy poplars are like a weed over there. So they're almost too aggressive. The aspens have that beautiful white bark, though. So much nicer than the Lombardy poplars.
It's a nicer tree.
It's a better poplar, and the leaves kind of tremble. The botanical name is Tremulus populatus. Tremulus populoides. There we go. I got my Latin. Trembling leaf poplar. That's the Latin name for it. So, because it dances. The leaves dance in the slightest breeze. We're out of time, Lisa.
Yep.
Always a pleasure sharing the studio with you.
Yes, it
is. We'll be back with more garden tips, tricks, and techniques. Just a moment.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
The Get Real Men's Expo is dedicated to spiritual guys of all faiths. This year is full of exotic cars, motorcycles, and competitions filled with guys young and old in archery, baseball, and axe throwing. Ladies, yeah, you heard me right. This is a great father-son event that creates memories and motivates men to reconnect with their community, family, and a God that uniquely loves each one of us. Award-winning coach Tommy Bowden is flying in as our motivational speaker. Coach Bowden is not only famous for his wins at Clemson University and acclaimed author, but super motivational when it comes to living your faith as a man. His testimony is riveting. You have to hear it. I mean, wow! This year's expo is the morning of August 19th from 8:30 to 1. Coach Bowden shares his fearless leadership as a football coach, husband, and father at 11. Remember, August 19th, Yavapai College in Prescott and the Get Real Men's Expo. If you're a man, it's free.
We believe strawberries taste better picked fresh from the garden at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
Throughout the year, I'm preaching it, folks. Please do not put plants in the ground like they do it down in the deserts. This is so hard. The Phoenix market has such an influence over the entire state, it just drives me crazy. I won't go over into all the politics and the media outlets and the news cycles, and we're unique, we're different. This is God's country up here. Why would anyone live 10 miles from the sun? I mean, just why would people live down in the deserts? It's so gorgeous up here. But that's why it's almost a secret that it's so nice, the four-season climates, and we get some snow, but yet it's so nice during the day. It's just beautiful up here. Well, we do not put plants in the ground like you do in the deserts. We do not do, in fact, everything they preach down there. Just ignore it. It's just going to backfire on you, and this is the time of year. This is the reason that it backfires. Down in the deserts, they don't see rain, or if they do, it's such a torrent that it just floods out everything. It's, you can't see. You got to pull over and just wait it out for 15 minutes while this one thunder cell moves on. Up here in God's country, in the mountains of Arizona, here we get lighter rains, more consistent rains. What was that? Wednesday night. It just rained, and all night long, it was just beautiful. It was pleasant, easy to sleep. In fact, I think I've got to, it's more than just a sheet to sleep at night. It's starting to get a little chill in the air. It's beautiful. Down in the desert, they get less than 10 inches of rain. I think Phoenix gets 9, 8, 8, 8.5 inches or something. I mean, basically no rain. Up in the mountains, we get 19 inches of rain, twice as much or more. Kind of depends on where you are on the hill, with how the clouds are broken up by, let's say, Granite Mountain or San Francisco Peaks. You know, the backside is a little drier than the front side because the clouds hit those mountains. To get up and over and around the mountains, they have to dump their rain, the weight. So they rain on the southwest side, typically, maybe west to southwest. And then they get some lift, they go over, and by the time they get over to the other side, they're lighter, so they don't have to dump any more rain. So it's typically drier on the northeast side. This is rough, it's a little, but generally speaking, you'll find the rain totals, that's how it plays out. And so you folks up in Talking Rock and that out all the way up to Williamson Valley area, you are a little drier, but you still get 15 inches of rain a year. Okay, so you get a few less. It's a lot of rain, and it hits in the monsoon seasons. So if you're treating your plants like you do in Phoenix, they're starting to die and show stress right now. Mark my words. Put this on your – take a look. Do a walkabout. Check this out. You'll find your locusts will yellow and turn to just die. I just lost an arborvita. An emerald green arborvitae planted it this spring. It was so hot right before that heat in June. I was watering 2-3 times a week trying to keep it alive. It was in a raised bed. I thought, oh, I can't overwater this. It's in a raised bed. It's impossible. The drainage is perfect. Well, no, it died. I had to back my irrigation off to once a week instead of twice a week watering because I'm killing my evergreens. It yellowed, got a branch that was dying off. I pulled that plant out of the ground, and the roots, sure enough, had root rot. That is, the new root hairs had rotted off, and then the established root hairs that were there, I peeled off the bark, and it had staining. That bark, the roots, should be like paperwhite, should be beautiful, pristine, new root hairs coming out. It should not have a foul odor. It should not have any staining or mocha or chocolate colored on the roots. It should be white like paper. The only thing that will cause that staining is the roots stay in too much water and they rot. That's why I tell you, plant your plants. Make sure when they're done planted, you don't have them in a divot. In Phoenix, they tell you, oh, plant it in a hole, we'll rain harvest. Here, we want to have it at root level. I would say you folks out in the heavy clay areas at Highway 69, all the way out, I mean, the heavy clay, heavy soils, you know who you are. You want to have at soil level or even a little above soil level so we can drain off some of this afternoon rain, some of that monsoonal rain that gets in there and compounds your irrigation issues. So we don't want to gather rain up. We want it to run off and away from the roots, or you'll get some root rot. And this, the monsoons is when it happens. This is when we see heavy plant loss because we're still watering like it's June and July, hot, but it's actually cooler at night. Things aren't drying out as quickly, and we're still irrigating. We got afternoon rains. It just causes too much rain, too much moisture. At the root level, we get root rot. That's also why I tell you to put so much composted mulch, not manures, organics back into the soil so it helps to raise the root ball so we're out of the ground, helps to add some organics so the roots can get through that native hard soil, and so it helps the roots to breathe. So mulch, and then how to plant. Don't have it in a divot. Have it at level or above soil level. And that's really why raised beds and containers do so much better than in the ground plantings, because they get to breathe easier during the monsoons. If that 6-minute diatribe was confusing, come in. I've got a handout that explains it all. It's free. We want you to be successful here at Waters Garden Center.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The personal garden shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on Shop, and choose Personal Garden Shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The Personal Garden Shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe searching Waters plants are better than a Google search at Waters Garden Center. And we are back with Lisa Waterslane in the studio, getting that woman's touch in the landscape. So Lisa's got those green thumbs that comes through. So when you walk through her gardens, you just go, wow, that feels good. So, hey, Lisa.
Hello.
So what you got for us today?
Dog's laying on my foot. Sorry.
Vincent, Vincent Price, the guide dog for the blind, come back to live and be the nursery dog. So
our
black
therapy
Labrador.
Therapy dog, yes.
Yeah, therapy dog. We have a blue vest that we put on him. It says, therapy dog, pet me. And he just roams around. It says, greets people. People actually, they either hate it.
Yes.
Or they think it's like the greatest thing ever. So.
But yeah, harmless as can be.
Yeah.
But he likes to lay on your feet and then you can't move anywhere.
Still so. Being trained. He's still He's still a puppy. He's coming around.
He's a great dog.
So come visit Vincent.
Yes.
Not us. Come see Vincent.
Don't worry about us.
Anyway, what do you got for us today?
Well, we're going to talk about evergreens and the importance of having some evergreens in your yard.
I think you should have. Well,
tons?
At least 20 to 25%. I don't know. It's a four-season climate. You ought to have one. 25% would be one of the seasons in evergreen.
And evergreens are more than everybody thinks of a spruce. When you say evergreen, everyone goes blue spruce. Well, there is a huge variety of evergreens, so do not limit yourself when you start thinking evergreens.
So, like, what do you mean?
Well, first, the reasons why you should have evergreens in your yard. Number one, you can put them along the foundation of your house and they break up that starkness where the house meets the ground.
Yeah, true.
So you definitely need, that just softens that, especially when we have so many homes here have those rock yards. You need something, I think, to break up from where the house into the, to where the yard starts.
Yeah. Rock right up to your adobe stucco house and up to your tile roof is a whole lot of rock.
And it gets hot too.
Yeah,
and evergreens will help break up that heat so you're not heating up as frequently.
Yeah.
But there are so many that you can put in there from pyracantha, silverberries, so many different euonymuses you can put in there that aren't necessarily needled. You know, they have nice leaf structure to them, and you can put those in there to break up that continuity of rock and house.
So they can be a conifer, which we define in horticulture as those things with needles. Mm-hmm. So pine, spruce, fir, cedars, cypress, those are all conifers. And then you've got broadleaf evergreens.
Great.
That'd be like your nandinas, the pyracantha, the silverberries, euonymus, I'm sure, cotoneasters. I'm sure there's a lot more.
Right.
So all of them are evergreens, but they all have different textures, looks, or colors to them.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can, if you have windows and you want to put something under those windows, that's where you go with your Gulfstream nandinas that are only going to get about 3 foot tall. They're not going to grow up and cover your window. If you have a higher spot, put a cotoneaster, a red clusterberry cotoneaster in. Beautiful evergreen, very drought hardy. It gives you white flowers in the spring and red berries in the fall, so you get some other interest in there.
That one turns a little purple color in the winter,
it does.
Too. So it goes
from
a blue-green to a purple or burgundy kind of hue to it.
Right.
Nandina does the same thing. Nandina,
yes,
or heavenly bamboo, for those of you from Southern California. That is a nice lime green or a lighter green, and then it turns a bright red.
Right.
The more sun it's in the winter, the brighter the red turns, and that red turns back to green again. So there's some evergreens that are evergreen, but also have
color,
multi-seasons associated to them. It's not just winter.
Right.
They can have spring. The nandina also has a spring bloom that's white. Mm-hmm. The red berries has a lot going. And deer don't eat it.
That's true.
Rabbits don't. Why? I don't know. It looks like you want to add a little ranch dressing yourself and nibble on some, but they
something
don't eat
about
them.
It they don't like.
Yeah.
We have at our house, because we have kind of a bedroom front window, we wanted something there, but something that wouldn't get huge, but we wanted color, so we put a gilt edge silverberry in there.
Mm-hmm.
Very attractive. And I don't think we've ever had to trim it, have you? Maybe not you're yet. Trimming it, I mean, and I don't know.
No, I'll give it a haircut, but it's mm-hmm. very, very limited. It's probably hip high, a little higher than hip high mm-hmm. by wide. It can go, if left unchecked, up to head high. But, you know, it's just a slow grower, slow methodical right. grower, much like juniper. Just mm-hmm. slowly grows with little to no care.
Right.
Great fragrance, great bright gold tinged mm-hmm. blue leaves. So the blue and the gold are quite right. striking.
And we wanted it to mix into our front because we have a lot of color in the front. We yeah. wanted to keep a lot of color, but we needed something there that would stay there the whole
yeah.
time. So
yeah.
it was a great choice.
Foundation plant.
Right.
Yeah, just kind of give you an mm-hmm. anchor through all the seasons.
Right. So evergreens also you can use to create privacy, of course. Emerald arborvitaes, that's where you can use your big blue spruce. Some of your junipers, blue point junipers, any of those. If you maybe you have a window that faces the street and you want people not to see into your house.
That's a good point, yeah.
Put some privacy screens there. One idea that I saw that I thought was a really cool idea is to create a garden room using big evergreens. So you could use our emerald arborvitae, plant four of them to make like a square shape.
Yeah, yeah.
And then use the inside space to make your own little outside garden room. So, you know, put a little patio settee out there.
Secret
a little
garden
table.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I thought, well, that's a really cool idea. Without having to build a whole structure or walls, make a green one out
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. We yeah. sort of did that idea
we
in
did.
Our new remodel. So mm-hmm. we just took the lawn out, put patio in. But then the neighbors, we got this stairred mm-hmm. Raised bed up to the street and the neighbors across the way that yeah. were looking down into this space. So we just took junipers, upright junipers, mm-hmm. I think Spartans, tall butterfly bush.
Mm-hmm.
And then in front of those, just to make sure you don't look through those plants, but you'll keep your eye up at
right.
street level.
Mm-hmm.
We have Russian sage, the autumn sages, the cotoneasters, the low growing ones.
Bush.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
those guys are up front. So you go, oh, look how pretty. You're looking at all the pretty street stuff. You don't even look down into
right.
the furniture and patios and fountains on the mm-hmm. patio area. Yeah, very good.
You can create if you have a large area that you need to cover, you can use some of your low-growing, your carpet junipers, Calgary carpet, the blue icy blue rug.
Yeah.
It almost creates like a carpet effect. If you've got a slope that, maybe you don't want to mow it, you don't want to mess with grasses or wildflowers on it, put a low-growing evergreen on there, and it creates more of a carpet, a real soft almost look effect to it with very minimal care.
Great with rock lawns. If you get mm-hmm. too much rock, just put a few of those junipers. In fact, we've got someone in the neighborhood, they put the low-growing cotoneaster and the low-growing blue rug juniper
oh, yeah. Yeah.
together. And those two are so happy, they're almost competing with each other to cover that area.
Right.
And I think it's a second home. They're never
they're
even
never
there.
There.
It looks super with no care.
It very does, much does. Your evergreens can also accentuate your fall color. So if you have a beautiful autumn blaze maple, it would look very dynamic to have a blue spruce next to it. So you got that contrasting color. So if you really want to show off your fall color in your yard, put an evergreen next to that, and that will really show off your contrast. You can grow any of them in containers.
Even a huge blue spruce or a deodora cedar.
It will limit the size on it,
oh, well,
and it
okay.
won't stay in there forever.
Well, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, you
good
could.
Point.
You know what I thought would be gorgeous in a container is those Field and Blue deodora cedars.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
Because they,
wow.
they don't get overly tall, but about 4 foot tall, but yeah. they just kind of spread out and weep down. It'd be gorgeous in a container.
Big falling blue mm-hmm. kind of pot, or a nice jade green or an oxblood red with that blue foliage mm-hmm. spilling over the side would be magnificent.
Right.
And low care. The deodora cedars are low,
oh, yeah.
low water, low care. You can go take that cruise through the Panama Canal for 2 weeks and come back. It'll still be alive.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One more reason to put evergreens in. If you have a wall or a side of your house just in the wintertime gets nailed by the wind blowing in on it, or when it snows, the snow comes in on you, put some big evergreens in there. It will block that wind from blowing so much. It'll keep your energy bills lower because you're not having to heat as much because you're not getting the full brunt of all that wind blowing on your house. So there are a lot of good reasons to put some evergreens in your yard.
Yeah, people underestimate how wind eats into, or how sun eats into, the extremes eat into your house. So yeah, insulation's good, but plants make it better.
Yes.
Thank you, Lisa. Evergreens. Come talk to Lisa and the crew about evergreens in your yard. You've been tuned in to Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Wondering why the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, it's probably because your neighbor used the all-purpose fertilizer from Waters Garden Center. Monsoon is right around the corner, and it's the perfect time to feed your plants. Waters all-purpose fertilizer is the only organic made especially for Arizona mountain soils. Don't buy a bunch of different fertilizer for your flowers, veggies, trees, or grass. This one does it all. The plants on your side will be happier, healthier, well, greener. Safe, natural, organic. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe in roses that smell like a rose at Waters Garden Center.
If you're new to Northern Arizona, there are some planting mistakes that really happen and really play out. And it's more difficult to actually get your design right in the mountains of Arizona because we're so hardcore xeriscape. I mean, even more so than Phoenix, because all of our water rights, they've been given to Phoenix, to the deserts. All the surface water goes to SRP and they get it all. You get none. And so unless you're on a well, even then they regulate, make you watch that. I won't go into what my thoughts all are on water rights of Arizona, but let's say it's not quite as fair as it used to be. But really, we don't have lawns like the Midwest. We don't have lawns even like California. We don't use the water like they do. We're much more efficient. In fact, if you look at your per person usage per day, we're using half to even 60-70% less per household than the rest of the country. We are efficient with our water use. And part of that is because we use rock so much. We use rock lawns in the landscape. Well, what that does for you is it's easy to get it out of proportion. You don't get your designs right. So it just doesn't feel like it did in California. It doesn't feel like that rolling hills of the Midwest. The feeling's off. The reason being is the percentage, the landscape greenery, that is your softscape to hardscape. Softscape is all the plants. Hardscapes are all the patios, driveways, decks, fences. It even goes so far as the irrigation and your night lighting. That's all considered hardscape. We want a 60-40 proportion. This is just what they teach you in design school. This is just quoting the book. 60-40. 60% of the surface area should be softscape, that is covered by plants. Now, that's a little deceiving in that a tree, all that surface area underneath a tree, that's considered part of that proportion. It goes into that design. And so the mature height of a tree will be 60-40 is what you want. Well, in the Midwest, California, even Phoenix, it's very easy because they have lawn. The lawn covers up a multitude of mistakes. Here we don't have green lawns. We have hardscape lawns. It's a dead, non-living lawn. And so it feels quickly, if you get underneath that 60-40, so let's say it's 40% plants, 60% just hardscape, all of a sudden it feels more lunar, less balanced, more sterile. Something's not less vibrant, not alive. I just don't like to be in this space. It's not as relaxing. I don't want to stroll through like I would a 60-40 if I had a little more plants to it. Let's say you bought that designer's lot. Let's say you bought the home builder, had a model home, and they overplanted it 10 years ago. You bought it because the subdivision's now played out, or you're in the home of a gardener. They've been planting for decades. You bought that house and you're going, man, it just feels like a jungle. My goodness, what were they thinking? What's not been maintained? was never, I mean, they haven't been cutting back and thinning and getting rid of some of the plants. Now we're above that 60%. Let's say it's 70 or 80% plants to your hardscape. And it feels overgrown, like you're choking, like you can't breathe. It just, I mean, that's just, this just doesn't feel right. 60-40. That's why you want to get those proportions correct. There's a couple other things, too, that you really want to watch. Subsoil. We don't have topsoil. In the mountains, we hardly have any. The few inches of topsoil that we do have, that's the living, breathing material. Now, when you're planting, if you don't add organics back to your soil, it won't continue to feed and add to that living, breathing cycle of the soil. So many of you will take your subsoil and bring it to the top. Or let's say your contractor did that for you. They scraped off that little bit of topsoil and they pushed it off to the edge because it doesn't hold your footers. It doesn't put your driveway in correctly. It's more light and fluffy. It's alive. They want sterile, dead, hard, compacted soil. That's what the contractor wants. Some of you are living, trying to grow in that subsoil, dead soil. And you're wondering why you put a plant in and it doesn't grow. It just sits there. Looks at you. It's been 3 years. Hasn't grown once. That's because you're dealing with a subsoil that's dead. The plant won't grow, ever grow, because it's not happy in a dead soil. It doesn't want to live in a morgue. It wants to grow out in the forest where it's alive and breathing. The soil's active. So that's one thing to watch. If your plants aren't growing, you need to make sure you plant it correctly and then top dress and really add to the life cycle of the soil, not the plant, the soil. The obvious blunder is putting the wrong plant in the wrong place. So if you got shade plants, let's say you're used to growing hollies in the Midwest, and it says grow in full sun, Japanese maples in full sun in California. You try to bring those into full sun here at this higher elevation where sun is real. I mean, it's intense. You'll burn them. And so you can't keep the leaves from burning back. So we need to make sure you really study, where do I put that plant? So it's actually easier here in the mountains of Arizona to find sunny plants. I mean, the garden center here at Waters, we've got probably 60, 70, 80% sunny plants. There's only a few shade lovers out there. So that's one thing to watch. The other is getting out of proportion. We've already covered that. So you're getting too many plants or not enough. Or sometimes it just gets too busy. You got to take that English garden thing to an extreme. And so we kind of have some continuity and some design really helps. You know, a foundational tree in the back, or we want our orchard, we want just fruit trees back here. So we line them up, we landscape that area. The other one that I think we get wrong is too much of the same thing. And I see this more from my Phoenix and California folks. They want evergreens. Nothing but evergreens. Or let's say you had your landscaper who's just bidding it out by price. I want the lowest price. That's it. Okay, you're hired. And he puts nothing but red-tip photinia because it's the cheapest plant to buy at the nurseries because it grows so fast. So you got this red-tip photinia evergreen thing everywhere, and it feels just too much of the same thing. You need some more. Really, the balance should be 20% of your landscape plants should be spring bloomers. 20% should be summer bloomers, 20% should be fall-colored plants, and 20% should be evergreens. And then the last 20% should just be whatever you want that makes you happy because you just like, I like roses. I want more roses. So that's kind of a quick and dirty things to watch. What was that? I may have given you too many things. Sorry. I really get on a roll. I get on my soapbox, but watch your subsoil. Make sure you're not dealing in dead soil. And then add some composted mulch back to your soil, which will activate the living organisms, mycorrhizals, worms, that kind of stuff. Watch where you're placing your plants. Everyone wants a Japanese maple in the mountains of Arizona, but very few people can actually have them because we don't have a shaded area that's protected from the sun and the wind. Many of you can up in the pines. Grow them. They'll take our cold. It's not the cold. It's the sun and the heat and the dryness of spring that gets them. So azaleas, hydrangeas, they grow very well here if you put them in the right place. So in the wrong place, they suffer and die and just they look terrible. Getting out of proportion. You don't have enough plants or you have too many plants, getting that 60-40 thing right, spacing your hedges correctly. It's too busy. I just have too many colors. I don't have, pick a theme, make it look, have a consistency there. And then too much of the same thing. It's all nothing but evergreens. And if you need help with that, iPads, a phone, digital phone, take a picture. Bring it in. We'll help you space that out. That with a quick row. I just helped someone with a corral. Too much dust had come off of her corral, going off of her, really it's a training pad. It's going off into her neighbors and there's a little bickering. We're going to put in a hedgerow there. Well, she brought an iPad. Here it is. I said, what's the distance? It's 120 feet. Let me help you plan this so it feels like a garden. It will cut the dust, make it visually acceptable for them. It'll be garden-esque, but it had to be things the horse wouldn't eat. That was a challenge. We can help you with that. Bring a digital copy because we can zoom in, see what's there, and then give us a quick measurement, and we can help you design. The aisles here at the Garden Center have created more gardens for folks that really look good. Be right back with more on The Mountain Gardener.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the mountain gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our Lavender Shades Blooming Penta.
One of the best butterfly attracting plants. It's right up there with milkweed, only prettier.
Hummingbirds have to dance around all the butterflies of this deeply colored summer bloomer.
Plant a few in the vegetable garden to attract pollinators that help tomatoes and squash set more fruit, all for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love to garden, they love to shop. The Get Real Men's Expo is dedicated to spiritual guys of all faiths. This year is full of exotic cars, motorcycles, and competitions filled with guys, young and old, in archery, baseball, and axe throwing. Ladies, yeah, you heard me right. This is a great father-son event that creates memories and motivates men to reconnect with their community, family, and a God that uniquely loves each one of us. Award-winning coach Tommy Bowden is flying in as our motivational speaker. Coach Bowden is not only famous for his wins at Clemson University and acclaimed author, but super motivational when it comes to living your faith as a man. His testimony is riveting. You have to hear it. I mean, wow. This year's expo is the morning of August 19th from 8:30 to 1. Coach Bowden shares his fearless leadership as a football coach, husband, and father at 11. Remember, August 19th, Yavapai College in Prescott and the Get Real Men's Expo. If you're a man, it's free. Now, Lisa and I have been traveling, picking out plants for 2017. Believe it or not, we're into fall. We're already committed. We've got winter evergreens coming, and we're starting to look for the crop rotations for spring, at least the March, April issues. These are plants. I mean, they got to be planned and grown and secured. It's not like a machine where you turn on the factory floor, you know, power, and all of a sudden product starts pumping out. So we're always about 2 to 3 seasons ahead of what you're used to. So we've got plants coming. They've already started to arrive. The fall maples, they're starting. They're here. We've got fall-colored plants. They're here. The mums are about to come in. The pansy's about to come in. We've got to make room. So there's this turning. You have to get rid of the spring and summer plant mix to make room for the fall and winter mix. And so these are small garden centers, a couple acres. That's all I got to deal with. You got to make room for stuff. So here's the inside scoop. You're hearing your garden centers, they'll always have this clearance sale as they get into these seasonal changeouts. So we call ours the Monster Monsoon Sale. You'll hear this starting on this weekend for the next couple weeks through Labor Day. You'll hear heavy ad schedules. Clean it out. Get good. Hey, it will make it worth your while. Here's, as listeners, you've tuned in. You got the inside scoop. If you're on our newsletter, you're part of Waters Garden Club. Or if you hear the Facebook following, the Instagram, it's all gone out. And I try to let our core, our friends, you want to let your friends know when something special's happened. so that they can get the best deals. They can pick off the best of the plants. You leave the dredges for the rest of the community. You, as listeners, you're a friend. You get the inside scoop. Water's monster monsoon sale, our clearance. We're getting rid of, we've tagged all the summer mix. If it's not perfect, I mean absolutely a perfect plant, I don't want to go into winter with it. I don't want to winter it over. I want perfect plants. We'll load up with perfect plants. So if it's got a dog leg or a broken branch, anything wrong with it, it's discounted heavily. Pottery. I mean, we want to clear out pottery. It's 25% off all the resort size pots and more. And we direct import. And so they're already at the best prices in town. Now they're discounted even more. Because what you get into is the onesie twosie factor. So we're going to go off in 2 weeks and buy the 2017 pottery mix. We'll hand pick, hand select, get the styles. Then those will ship usually in December, January, kind of after that last Christmas tree is sold. We have pottery land. So we've got to make room. I don't want a mishmash of onesie twosies. I want fresh new sets coming up. So we try to liquidate the pottery. Man, it goes through perennials. Other than mums and asters, snapdragon, we don't want any perennials. We don't want them to winter over with us. They're going to go dormant and then die back to the roots. The roots are alive. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just it's hard to sell. It's hard to inspire in a retailer setting. We're a specialty retail shop. It's hard to inspire when the plant has died back to the roots. We want to liquidate. I want you to have them. You plant them and have them stay in your gardens. And I'll have fresh new things come up. I've already got them plugged. They're already starting to grow. I already got them lined up for next March, February, March, April, heukeras and all that stuff. So this is the time. Pick up the bargains now. You've got the insights. That's why garden centers have their end of season closeout sales. There's nothing wrong with the plants. It's just they're trying to make room and crop rotations and what they're going to winter over and how much labor they're going to deal with it. Take advantage of them. You can have some serious, you can make your landscape dollars go twice as far just by planting during the sale.
I was raised in a nice house with my family. Now I'm out on my own and have my own apartment. I love my cute little place, but there's something I do miss. I miss my mom's garden in the backyard. It was so special because over the years I was growing up, I watched her give those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch and so much color. I miss it so. Well, guess what? I just visited my local garden center and they gave me some great ideas. And now, because of them, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with flowers, bright Arizona flowers. Looking at those flowers gives me such a nice feeling, and it's almost like being with Mom in the backyard all over again.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it too.
We believe local businesses are better than impersonal box stores at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott at 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.